Wendy Harmer, 702 Mornings.
Swans need a goal. Nick Davis! I don't believe it! I see it, but I don't believe it!
Ah, yeah.
Unbelievable stuff. Nick Davis has kicked four final quarter goals. Is there time for the Cats? Is there one more roll of the dice for Geelong? There must be 2 seconds left. That's it! It's all over!
Well, my next guest well remembers that. I'm sure that she was there, and that particular bloke, Nick Davis, we're going to be speaking to him in just a moment. But my guest this morning is Jan Courtin. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Wendy.
And welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You are the, I wonder if you are the most dedicated Swans fan there is. You've written a memoir, My Lifelong Love Affair with the Swans. And so you will have to tell me all about it. When did you, I guess it's that, like that Bruce Dawe poem, isn't it? You are born into footy families. You're born into a beribboned cot, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Is that what happened to you?
Yes, I was born into, as I say in the book, the Bloods family, mm-hmm. which is a term all South Melbourne people actually still use for the Swans. Yeah, my great uncle was a captain of the 1918 Premiership team.
Ah, is that right?
Yeah, so he was one of 13, and one of his sisters was my grandmother on the maternal side. And then Mum, she had 2 children, and my aunt actually was the one who introduced me to football.
So were you born in South Melbourne?
No, I was born at the Mercy Hospital in Melbourne. But
you're a Melbourne girl?
I'm Melbourne, yep.
Yep, that's yep. right. And you were the eldest of 7 children, I believe.
That's right.
Did you all go for the Bloods? I guess there wasn't any alternative,
really? A couple of them were not too interested. My mum used to take us all to the football every Saturday along with Dad, and my mum was a musician, so she used to teach music at home, and so a couple of them would stay at home with her and they weren't too involved. They have subsequently become interested, but yeah, we all followed them.
So how old were you when you went to your first footy match?
I wasn't quite yet 5. It was about 4 years, 8 months, yeah.
Do you remember?
I don't actually remember. I do remember the grandstand and having my own wooden red and white seat in the members. I remember the people. I remember the fans and this Collingwood woman who used to always sit in our grandstand and swear and curse. And
do you know that when you say that about the people barracking and, you know, swearing and carrying on, that was the biggest difference that I noticed after I came to Sydney and I started following rugby league,
yep.
that the crowds are much, much, much quieter. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I mean,
in AFL or?
NRL.
Well, it's interesting you should say that.
They have a really different way of barracking.
That's very interesting you should say that, because even though I lived in Brisbane for 20-odd mm-hmm. years, and of course that's predominantly the two rugby versions, but when I moved to Sydney, specifically to be closer to the Swans, late the end of 98, we actually started up an art gallery, and I was amazed, just amazed, how the Sydney people reacted to knowing that I had a passion for a football team. Mm-hmm. First of all, they of course assumed it was rugby league or union, but they just couldn't understand it. Now, we know, and I know you're from Victoria, I mean, football in Victoria is a religion. I mean, it doesn't matter what class you're from, whatever. You just go to a cafe, you start having a chat. What do you say? Who do you barrack for? And it just goes from there. That's just so not Sydney. And as I say, I was really surprised. And often the ones who would come into my office in the gallery and see a red and white scarf hanging there, wow, I'm a Swan supporter, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we got chatting, but it's just not the same. And I've only ever been to one rugby league game. And I sort of felt a bit alien somehow. No, it's very different. It's a whole different culture.
Yeah, it is very much. So there you are. You've got to go back to tell me about, because I went, what? You moved to Sydney specifically closer to the Swans.
Yeah,
tell me about that.
Well, I was born.
So, of course, just to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
How did the decision for the Swans to move to Sydney,
yep.
I mean, how did that, what sort of impact did that have on your life?
Well, okay, I'll just give you a very brief sort of background. Born in Melbourne, was there for the first 26 years.
Yep.
Booked, I suddenly decided, family, failed love affairs, working in the family business, and an addiction to the Swans was more to life, maybe. So I booked to go overseas, which we did in the late 60s. Went overseas, London for 9 years, mm-hmm. big changes in my life, became sort of politically aware, all sorts of major changes. Eventually, I met my husband there. Eventually, we came back to Australia, and the jobs we got were at Queensland Uni, so we were in Brisbane for 22 odd years. And of course, I followed the Swans all this time. In 1970, when I was in London, I actually flew back for the first final in my mm-hmm. lifetime.
Wow.
And then returned because we'd made the finals. And then living in Brisbane, as I say, it was hard to get to games. We got to as many as we could. And in 1996, when I believe was when the Swans really we started on the up and changed everything. We went to all the finals that year from Brisbane. I got in touch with Richard Collis, the chairman at the mm-hmm. time, and he was wonderful and got us tickets to all the finals. And then at the end of that year, I said, that's it. I cannot stand living so far away from football. I want to be able to go to all the games again. So we sold up, took a punt after 22 years in Brisbane and came to Sydney. And we came at the perfect time, arrived in 1998. Mm. We had to work, so we started up an art gallery in Paddington. And when we retired 6 years ago, we toyed with the idea of going back to Melbourne. Can't leave the Swans, sorry.
Leave the Swans.
Well, I'd either have to fly up 13 times a year from Melbourne. Why do that, you know?
Yeah, what is it about this team?
Oh, I don't know. Well, the team itself is just, well, especially in the last 20 years, it's success. And, of course, Sydneysiders love success. And they've just been, you know, they've completely changed. Everything changed. The culture changed when Richard Collis came in, when Andrew Ireland came in. They've just got the club back on its feet, and success obviously helps. Success on the field obviously helps.
What about this accusation that some Swans fans are a bit fair-weathered friends?
Well,
They stick with it. You know, they barrack for the team when it's going well, then drop off when it doesn't.
I know. Well, I've joked about that. It happens in Melbourne. Look at Collingwood this year. Haven't been going so well, and mm-hmm. you know, they're 80,000 members. You get 20,000 at a game. Of course, it happens with all clubs. But I really do wonder, and I don't even want to talk about us going down the ladder and not being successful, but I do wonder how many of the members would turn up. I mean,
You admit that?
Oh, yeah, I do admit it. Oh, I'm a Melburnian, so I know
what sticking is.
I was sticking all the years. We never won a match. You know, we went for decades losing every match. But I didn't not go to the games when I was a kid and a teenager. I still went to support them.
You're wearing a badge at the moment which says that I am a Swans lover. Yeah. Do you wear that everywhere?
No, I certainly don't. Jane wanted me to wear it today.
Well, Jane's got her scarf on and Yusuke's got his T-shirt
I wore it last week when the book was launched at the Sydney Swans, Richard. It was a wonderful event and mm-hmm. I'm so grateful they had it for me. And I wore it then, and the speech that I gave referred to the badge, so I wanted to wear the badge at the time.
All right. Best moment, worst moment in following the team?
Best moment, 2005 Grand Final. Worst moment, probably, well, I'm not talking about the years in South Melbourne, right? They were all pretty dreadful. But the worst, I suppose, since I've been in Sydney, the 2014 Grand Final loss.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the favourites. We're the favourites this year. We ended up minor premiers in 14.
You one of those people where if the team doesn't win, are you cranky all week?
Oh, my God, I'm terrible. 1996, driving back from Melbourne when we lost the Grand Final, I'm the only driver in the family, the two of us, and it took me 4 days to drive back to Brisbane. Had to stop the car. I was sobbing, gut-wrenching, hyperventilating. It obviously can't just be losing a football match. It's the build-up over the years, I think, to getting to the, as with life, it's the ups and downs. And you get to the pinnacle and suddenly it's finished, it's gone. It's like,
what are you
it's
like
almost
the,
like an addiction.
Yeah? What are you like in the off-season?
Oh, my God, I hate it. So October is the worst season. I loathe October. I loathe it. When I was busy in the gallery, it was fine. But now that I'm retired, although I do voluntary work, I loathe October. Cricket comes in November. That's good. I get into the cricket, but that's not a passion. And I, the beginning of the year, we plan all the airfares and the accommodation for go to every game for the footy season. So that's my 6 months. I do have another life, believe it or not. It's not just football, believe me. As people can see in the book, it's a part memoir. So,
but what? I'm a bit worried about you.
Oh, God. Don't worry. My family's been worried about me forever.
Well, I bet I'm not the only one.
No, no, no.
Well, we can find the book online at myswansloveaffair.com.
That is right.
And that's the title. There it is. And it's by Jan. And please buy the book. And please, Swans, win on the weekend because we're worried about Jan.
Oh, dear. Okay. Thank you very much.
Wendy Harmer, weekdays from 8:30 on 702 ABC Sydney.